throughout this wretched pandemic, we've heard a lot about care homes, and quite rightly too. But I suspect that when we think of the term care homes, we also tend to think of older people. Well, here's a piece about younger people who've been trapped in the same situation, and with amazing resilience on the part of those young people and on the part of the support staff who work with them. I had the opportunity earlier this week to chat with Jennifer Marshall about the work of the McIntyre charities. You'll hear McIntyre has homes and schools in this area, one in St Albans and various other local places, and there they support young people with learning disabilities, including autism. Now, Jennifer is McIntyre Regional Children's Home Manager. Now, I asked her to tell us what they do and who they're supporting. There was a lot to get through, so I've chopped out most of my questions, if you like, so that we can focus on what she said. She's a whole lot more interesting than the questions I asked. It means we can get more of the story in the limited time we have.
We support children and adults with learning disabilities, autism and other complex needs. We support them where possible in their local communities, both in residential homes, children's homes, supported living services. We support children, young people from 11 to 19 in the children's homes. We're in three different counties currently with our children's homes: Hertfordshire, Central Bedfordshire and Buckinghamshire. Over the three counties, we are working with 30 young people.
So one of your homes is in St Albans, and so presumably the children who live in that home actually attend the local school?
It depends on what their needs are. So one of their young people does travel back to Wingrave School, and other young people attend different schools. We work together with the school, but the school have learning support assistants that support young people. All young people are on a one-to-one, so quite high level of need. Their families work very, very closely with us, so we believe they're the experts, and they support us in making a life that makes sense for them, supporting us around what great looks like for them, their aspirations, work very, very closely with families. In the children's homes that we're talking about, most of the young people are on a 52-week placement, which means they live here all year. And, for example, the supported living service that we'll be opening, they will live there. That will be their home. And then they might see family. Family might come to them, or they might go home for day visits or weekends, depending on young people's and adults' needs. Autism is a spectrum, and children and young people can have very different needs around their autism. Young people that we support have quite complex learning disabilities and other complex needs, and that's sort of where we specialise. Learning disabilities is what we do. All young people that attend our school and live in our children's homes have a learning disability. So when we talk about the spectrum of autism, there's also a spectrum of learning disabilities, and many of our young people absolutely have a learning disability, so their cognitive functioning is very different to their age, or can be very different. So we look at how we can support that and develop communication skills and support their development, really. There can be some underlying guilt around family supporting their children, them going into care, us working alongside them to make sure that we can meet their child's needs, and really being accepted into the community for a life that makes sense to them. It's very difficult.
How do you help those families who find it hard to hand over their kids into your care?
We work with parents further down the line than that, in that young people usually come to us between 11 and 19. So they sort of have experienced that for a while and have managed that. We have worked with parents in seeing things from a different perspective, making sure that young people really have aspirations and that they follow their dreams. We believe that if they want to achieve, we will support them to achieve, and there shouldn't be an end to education or support or access to the community because of their differing needs to other people's.
So take me through a typical day for a young person who's in your care.
When we talk about a typical day for a young person living within the children's home, we talk about somebody coming in and supporting them with personal care, with preparing their breakfast. We believe that in our children's home, everything that we do is to prepare them where possible for adulthood. So supporting with independence, learning skills within the home. We make things available to them based on their current needs. So it might be that somebody's learning to drink from an open-top cup, or spread some butter on their toast in the mornings. And we just ensure that we build on those tiny little objectives in order to reach an end goal that works for them. There's personal care involved for some young people. And then often, depending on where we are, going off to school, supporting with that transition, that can be really, really difficult for some of our young people, transitioning both onto a vehicle or even just through a doorway. And then off to school, after school, we like to see that as kind of, where possible, making a life that does make sense for them, attending youth clubs or colouring, drawing, baking. But again, still supporting them with their independence around, can you cut the pepper up for dinner? Are you able to choose what you would like for dinner? Contact with families, that kind of thing. Each child is very individual in their relationship building. Some young people often build very close attachments. As I said, they live in these children's homes often for 52 weeks of the year. So building relationships is really, really key for the young people. And some young people really take to building those relationships with their support workers, managers within the homes. And other young people really, really struggle with that. So again, it really, really depends. We want to be able to support every child that's in our children's homes into an adult provision that makes sense for them. So that could be supported living, a residential home, education, whatever works for them. Often these young people cannot return to their parents' homes. There's a reason that they are currently in care and they require that further support and need. So as I said, the two young people that are transitioning from our children's home at McIntyre School will be moving into a supported living service in Hemel Hempstead, and we will oversee that. Often young people that we support are very different to the adults that we currently support at McIntyre, but we want to ensure that McIntyre can offer every child we support an adult provision that makes sense to them. We're very good at what we do. We have a very large adult provision with directors overseeing that. The way we support young people, we want to continue that into their adult life around positive behaviour support, occupational therapy input, speech and language, just making a life that makes sense for them to continue into their adulthood and not just stop at 19.
You also work with older people with dementia. What are you providing them with?
A very similar, a life that makes sense to them. We do support adults with dementia, and we have a special interest group around dementia. Work closely with professionals supporting older people with dementia. I don't directly work with them, but what McIntyre does for older people with dementia is fantastic. We are funded mainly by local authorities. We work very closely with our commissioners in ensuring that packages for young people and adults very much meet their needs. For the two young people moving into supported living service in Hemel Hempstead, they are fully health funded, so health support and fund the appropriate care needs for them.
Just to clarify, when you say health support, that means that funding is through the National Health Service, is that right?
Yes.
So what's COVID done, this wretched pandemic?
I think COVID has affected every community in many, many, many different ways. I think for the children and young people that we support, it has supported some to develop relationships with their staff, to learn new things within their homes, very focused on life skills, developing laundry, cooking your own meals, preparing a shopping list, and also just the resilience to change that I think we don't often give children and young people credit for, in that they've managed that their school has been closed and that they've been unable to attend that and their routine has been broken. And often we talk about young people with autism needing a very structured routine, but actually we've seen real resilience and positivity from young people that have managed without that structure, that have really developed in remaining in their own homes and having education coming to them. Because our children and young people live in the children's homes, it's quite different to living in their own home and having respite support. So it has affected our day students at our McIntyre School, but because the young people live within the children's homes, their consistency of support has remained the same, so it hasn't impacted families to the same extent. I think for most people, life pace has slowed down, and that is true to our children and young people also. but I wouldn't say that that is a bad thing. And we've worked together to do a reflection around that to try and take away the positives and ensure that we change some of our practices to incorporate what we've learnt during the pandemic. There was always going to be difficulties around staffing, PPE, and ensuring that we keep young people in bubbles and keep them as safe as possible. At some points, we had to restrict family contact, which was horrendous for me to manage and the young people. But I would say as many positives have come out of COVID-19 as there has been negatives.
Having listened to you, Jennifer, it strikes me that it must be quite a tough job that you and your colleagues are doing.
I absolutely love my job. I think every day brings a new challenge, but the young people and young adults that we support, they are just fantastic, and they give back what we give them in their smiles, their achievements, their ability, their resilience. On a day-to-day basis, it's difficult to watch young people move away from their families and managing those transitions that are difficult, learning new communication skills, but absolutely, the job is fantastic.
So what would you say to someone who's listening today and thinking, well, maybe that is something that I could consider for myself?
I would say absolutely go for it. And even if you have no experience in this kind of sector, come and talk to us. Because if you want to make a difference to a child or an adult with learning disabilities, with autism, then I would say come and see us at McIntyre. We very much look for value base rather than a professional qualification. We will support you to learn and develop whilst you're in the position. We support within our children's homes as part of the children's home regulations, the level 3, working with children and young people. I would say if you are interested and you want to make a difference to children's lives, then we will support you to do that.
Thanks to Jennifer for her time and for telling us about the amazing work that's being done by McIntyre Charity. She mentioned funding. She mentioned that the youngsters are funded by the local authorities and that others, as they become adults, are funded by the National Health Service. Of course, that doesn't cover all their costs. They have to raise money in lots of different ways, which they do through donations and seeking grants and going for awards, all the usual things that every charity has to do. But of course, for every charity at the moment, it's got pretty difficult because a lot of the opportunities to donate, the events have disappeared that usually raise so much cash for charities. So if you're interested in helping this work, do have a look at the website. I'll give you the address in a moment. The other thing is, if you're interested in discovering whether this is an area in which you might work, they give full training, on-the-job training, if you like, as Jennifer said. So if you're interested in this work or in helping them in any way, do have a look at their website, which is mcintyrecharity.org. Now, McIntyre is M-A-C-I-N-T-Y-R-E, charity.org. So that's all one word, .org. And you can contact them by phone if you call 01908-230100, 01908-230100, or you can email hello@mcintyrecharity.org. But of course, all that information is on the website, mcintyrecharity.org.